Mark chapter 4, in my opinion, is the most important chapter in the Bible. And it says in verse 3, hearken, behold, they went out a sower to sow. Now, it's in red what we're reading. He sows in verse 4, and he sows in verse 5, and he sows in verse 7, and he sows in verse 8. This sower sows four different times. All in soil. But he loses verse 4, and he loses verse 5, and he loses verse 7. Thank God he got blessed on verse 8. Wonder what verse you lost. Wonder how many times you've given to God, bless God, no harvest, and everything bit the dust. Notice what he said in verse 8. Others fell on good ground. Now that's a key to something. Everybody say good ground. That's a hint to tell you something. That seed does not produce unless it's put in good ground. Now the man that sowed in verse 4 and verse 5 and verse 7, you know, maybe he was moved by emotion. Because it doesn't say much about good ground in those verses. So that man lost 75% of his seed. Now verse 8 says, and others fell on good ground that did yield fruit that sprang up and increased. Now what does that mean, sprang up? You ever put your face over a water fountain, hit the button, and it sprang up? You got baptized. Sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So evidently God is into sowing and reaping instead of just sowing. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son. But Jesus didn't die for nothing. God sowed Christ and expected Christians. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Salvation's free to you, but it definitely isn't cheap. It cost Jesus his life. There's nothing cheap. You see, when they opened that door right there, it cost me $1,500. $1,500 for you people to sit right there. Enjoy yourself. Plus $300 to put them chairs up. I hope your rear end is comfortable. Look at Kat, I can't believe that. I'm just, because nothing's cheap and nothing's free. And it shouldn't be because they got to pay for this place. It takes money to operate this place. I don't have a problem with that. What I'm saying is this. That they allow us to use this facility. The least we can do is pay them. Ain't a thing wrong with that, because their people work here, need to work for a living, make a living. You know, they got to feed their families and whatever. I noticed in this scripture here that the Lord was adding by 30. He brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And I have read that scripture I don't know how many times. But it dawned on me. He's adding by 30 there. Bless God, 36 to 100. Wait a minute. The Lord done made a mistake. Because if he's adding by 30, it'd be 30, 60, and 90-fold. Wonder why it said 30, 60, and 100-fold. So, you know, I went to the original Greek. I thought maybe the King James Version had a mistranslation. The Word of God's not in error, but sometimes they mistranslate a word. Because, for example, give you a prime example. In the 1600s, the word charger was a plate. And then in the 1800s, it became a horse. Same word. Different meaning. So, you know, sometimes translations or meanings of words change with different generations. So I thought, well, maybe they must have messed it up. So I brought it, I looked it up in the original Greek, and it said 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, you know what? I'm a man, I'm a stickler for the word, because inquiring minds want to know. So I thought I'd go before the Lord and ask this. So I went before the Lord. I said, Lord, he said, what? I said, listen. Did you write Mark chapter 4? He said, it's in red, isn't it? I said, yeah. He said, I wrote it. I said, I noticed you said, others fell on good ground, did yield, fruit sprang up, increased, brought forth some 30, some 6, some 100-fold. He said, that's exactly what I said. I said, I noticed you was adding by 30. He said, that's correct. I said, really? He said, that's correct. I said, you said 36 to 104. He said, that's exactly what I said. I said, Lord, but if you was adding by 30, wouldn't it be 30, 60, and 94? He said, that's correct. I said, but you said 36 and 104. He said, that's correct. I said, well, Lord, I'm not here to correct you. Who am I, glory to God? He said, yes, who are you? I said, I'm everything you made me. He said, that's what I like to hear, my boy. Ooh, that's it. I said, well, Lord, if it's 36, if you add by 30, it should have been 30, 60, 90. Why did you say 30, 60, and 100-fold? Here's a revelation coming. He said, too much. He said, I never just meet a need, I'll go over. He said, I'm not enough, I'm too much. And I wrote the title of my book on that. God's not enough, he too much. I would tell everybody to get that book, brother. I'm going to tell you, it'll help get the book, the heaven book. And that, I'm telling you what, you'll be up for 5 days. He said, I got too much mercy and too much grace. He said, when you fed up with people, I go an extra mile. One time Moses, bless God, God got angry at the nation of Israel. He said, get out of the way, Moses. I'm going to kill every one of them. And Moses said, no, Lord, you kill them people, blot my name out of the Lamb's book. God said, okay. And then a week later, Moses said, kill them all, God. That's good. How many of you Christians, how many of you know, right? You know a Christian you like to slap. Don't lift your hand up. There's some aggravating people in the world, isn't it? Don't look around here. I said, well, Lord, why? He said, I'm too much, Jesse. I'm beyond human reasoning. I'm pressed down, shaken together, running over. I'm not just enough. And the reason why I never make just enough, because somebody else may be coming in, you're not expecting going to be there, and you got to have more than enough. He said, let me just tell you the reason I'm going to give you a revelation. And me and Brother Copeland like to have a fit when I begin to preach this. He said, the reason why I said 36 and 104, I wanted to see where you choke. Title of this message tonight is the choke hole. He said, I wanted to see why I had to stop blessing you because you can't receive it, even though it's in red. Ladies and gentlemen, when the offering is given a little bit later, if you gave $1,000 in that offering, could God give you $100,000 by tomorrow? Look at some of y'all. Oh, that's a lot of money. I know it's a lot of money. But Jesse, I know it's a lot of money. And the reason why it's a lot of money, because you're only thinking about yourself. But I promise you, if I gave away $100,000 tonight, I couldn't even get out of this section. The rest of y'all would have to go home with nothing. So $100,000, not a lot of money when you got to spread it around all these amount of people. But $100,000 just for you, yeah, that's a lot of money. He said, I want to see where you choke. He said, I wrote that 1,000 years ago and people still can't receive. He said, why do they blame me for their inadequacy to receive what I said they could have? See, it's the choke hold. I prayed for a woman one time. I'll never forget, as long as I ever lived. She had her hands up. She was dying with cancer. She said, Lord, heal me of this cancer, Jesus. I'll keep the diabetes. She actually said that. Because she could live with diabetes, but couldn't live with cancer. I thought, you got to be kidding me. And she honestly said that. Where do you choke? Where does God have to stop? Because you can't receive. Prime example. My daughter's here tonight. That's Jody back there. Glory to God. She's been married now about 7 years. Am I correct? 8 years. Glory to God. Well, to make a long story short, hallelujah. Ed is the executive director of our ministries. I believe he's in the television truck back there. He came to my house. Jody brought him over. She says, Daddy, I want you to meet this guy, Ed. I said, is that his real name? Because we called him Mr. Ed. We didn't want to, you know, give him a horse name. She said, no, his name is Edwin, but everybody just calls him Ed. Oh. Ed was a nice guy, nice fella, bless God. But he had a problem. He wouldn't go home. He stayed home. I open my eyes. There's Ed. I go to bed. There's Ed. So one time I had Ed come outside. I said, Ed, let me give you a scripture. Oh, yes. The Bible said, withdraw your foot from your neighbor's house, lest he weary with you. I liked that. I just wanted him to go home. He said, oh, he just won't be around Jody. Well, they fell in love, bless God, and got married. Everything went fine, glory to God. They rented an apartment for I don't know how many years, had a nice apartment that, you know, blessed, believing God, that they would buy a house. Now watch this. Choke hold. Watch this. Well, Ed and Jody got together and found the house that they liked, and they bought this beautiful home, blessing of God. So Jody calls and says, hey, Dad, Mom, y'all come over and see the house. So we decided to go over there. So we drove over there. Now, you got to understand, I see Jody and I see Ed every day in the office, but I hardly ever go to their house. You know, it's not because I don't want to, because I see them all day. You know, it's just part of it, because I live a totally different life than most people. I'm constantly gone. Make a long story short, I walked in. Well, Ed took Kathy upstairs to show Kathy the upstairs bedroom, blah, blah, and all this stuff. And Jody says, boy, Dad, you like the house? I said, yeah, boy, Jody, this is a beautiful house. Boy, well, God's blessed y'all. Look at this. Now, there wasn't much in there. There wasn't much furniture or anything in there. Because, you know, when you buy a house, you spend all the money you got to get in the house. Then you got to believe God for furniture, you know. It's called decoration. It takes a while to get all that done. Well, make a long story short, I'm looking around like, and Jody said, boy, do you like it, Dad? I said, boy, Jody, this is a blessing. I mean, a blessing. I said, God has really blessed y'all. She said, Dad, I'm going to show you something. So she shows me a magazine article of a rug. One of those Oriental type rugs. She said, you see that rug, Daddy? She said, me and Ed can't buy that now, but we're going to save our money. We get our money together. You know, they just bought a house. And they had just bought a car, too. They had just got a car, a house, and all that kind of stuff. So, no, that took about all the money they had to get in there. Make a long story short, she said, we're going to save our money. And you know, we get enough money, we're going to buy this rug. I said, well, how much that rug cost? She said, I think it was $2,000. I think about $2,000. Joy said, $2,000. And she said, boy, isn't that a lot of money? I said, yeah, that's expensive, man. My God. She said, but we really love this rug. Because you see, she wants to decorate from the rug up. You know, get the colors out the rug. You know, I say, yeah. Now, by that time, Kathy was coming down the stairs. Now, when you've been married to the same woman for 28 years, you ain't got to talk to each other. You just look at each other. You just know. So I looked at her like that, and I did this, she did this, and I said, fine. I said, Jody, tell you what me and your mama want to do. Me and your mama going to buy that rug for you and Ed as a housewarming gift for a blessing. Just want to bless you. She didn't ask me to do that. So she surely couldn't be greedy about receiving it because she didn't ask me for it. She looked at me. She said, oh, no, Daddy. I didn't show you the article just for you to buy the rug. Oh, Daddy, that's a lot of money, Daddy. I can't let you do that, Daddy. That's just too much money. I said, okay. I got my car and I went home. What happened? She's joking. I'm her El Shaddad. I'm her father on the earth. I'm trying to bless this kid, but she can't receive it because she's choking. Oh, no, Daddy, no, Daddy. Oh, Daddy, no. So 8 months later, I came back over. I walked in the house. Wasn't much left in there. Still about the same stuff. I walked into our dining room. I said, Jody, you ever going to put some curtains in this place here? You know, because sheets are not made for windows. You know, but most people put sheets up for windows, you know, hide, you know, so people don't see inside the house. So she had some blinds or something. She said, Daddy, do you know how much drape stuff costs? That costs a lot of money. She said, me and Ed, we're saving our money so we can get some nice window treatment, stuff like that. It costs a lot of money to do that. I said, I tell you what you do. Why don't you call Mr. Signorelli and just tell him to come on in there and put your drapes up, get your fabric out and all that kind of stuff, and we'll just take care of that for you. She looked at me like that. She went, oh, no, Daddy. You know how much one drape costs for one window? How many you got in there? Three, two, four. Four. Glory to God. She knows. Four. Praise God. Oh, Daddy, that costs too much. I can't let you do that, Daddy. That's a lot of money. I can't let you do that. And I just looked at her and went, okay. I got my car and I went home. 2 years went by. Jody and Ed came to the house and picked me up in her car. Now, they had one of those Infinity cars. I think that's what it's called. I don't know. Infinity, something like that. I had never rode in the back of Jody's car. I sat in the front seat of the car. And I said, boy, Jody, this is a nice car. She said, you like it, Dad? I said, yeah, this is one nice car. She said, me and Ed going to drive this car till the wheels fall off. We think it's going to become a classic. We just like it. Now, they didn't have it. How long, Jody? About 2 years, I guess. So they had financed it for 5 years or 4 years, whatever. I don't know. So I'm riding in the back of the car. I said, Jody, how much money you owe on this car? Ed, how much you owe? And both of them kind of said, I don't know, $19,000, $20,000, you know. I said, well, who owns the mortgage on this car? And they said, this bank or this financial institution. So I said this from the back. I said, why don't you drive over to that bank over there and I'll just pay your car off. She said, let the Lord lead you, Daddy. Yeah, let the Lord, Lord, let the Lord lead you, Daddy. Woo! What happened? What happened? She took the chokehold off. She couldn't be greedy about the car. She didn't ask me to pay off the car. Ed couldn't be greedy about the car. They didn't ask me. Yet her father is trying to be a blessing, but she can't receive it. So I said, Jody, 10 minutes later, they owned the car and got the title deed. And then she said, hey, Daddy, is that rug and that curtain deal, is that still out there? She don't remember that, but she said that. I said, Johnny, the money's been in the bank for 2 years waiting for you to receive it. God wrote that 2,000 years ago. When will you receive what God said you can have? When? How long does it take for you to get the chokehold off? When will we be healed from the top of our head to the soles of our feet? When will we be blessed in the city and blessed in the field? Blessed going in and blessed going out. The wealth of the sinner laid up for the just. The earth is the Lord's. All the gold and the silver belongs to God. We are an heir with the Father, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. When will we receive it? I'll tell you when we receive it. When we get that stinking chokehold off our neck. When we stop taking what the world wants us to have or what the church world thinks we should have and go get what our El Shaddai Abba Daddy says we can have. She couldn't be greedy about it, didn't ask for it. Well, now she got the car paid off. She got the curtain, she got the rug. And the curtain's on the way, right? Paid for. What are you saying? She choked. Now watch this. I preach this. I know this. If you don't watch it, the chokehold can grab you. Her and Ed called us not long ago. And I just flew in. She said, Dad, how long you been in? I said, about 15 minutes. She said, me and Ed want to take you out to dinner. We know you and Mama like that restaurant called Houston's in New Orleans. We know you like to go there. So we want to pay for your meal in Houston's. Now, it costs a little money to go to Houston's. And the first thing I thought of, I'm the daddy, Kathy the mama, and Jody the kid. You ought not be paying for my meal. I said, no, Jody, I ain't going to let you do that. That costs too much money. I can't let you do that. She said, okay, hung the phone up. And it dawned on me. I'm choking. Hit me like a ton of bricks, you idiot. So I called her back up and said, I repent. Forgive me. Come get me. I'm hungry. And they came and got us and brought us to Houston's. And we ate like some Missouri hogs, boy. We didn't eat broccoli. That's low-fat trash. We had barbecue ribs. Ribeye. Woo! Walnut ice cream. I want a cobbler. Whatever they call that stuff. We don't believe in low fat. People that eat low fat are very depressed. Notice your grandma and your grandpa. They ate bacon fried. They ate eggs fried in bacon grease, biscuits, butter, gravy, sausage. They lived at 90 and 100 years old. You couldn't kill them. You tried to kill them. They wouldn't die. You got these people eating yogurt. What is that? Mueslix. Look like horse meal. People having heart attacks at 40 years old. But your grandma and grandpa are 90 years old and them eggs slipping right through their artery. Just slipping through. But that's old broccoli giving them gas. Everybody eating that stinking broccoli and gassing up the whole world. That's why the world's getting hotter. The temperatures are rising. Need to get rid of that stinking low-fat trash. I know what Dr. Cherry said. Don't get mad at me, Dr. Cherry. Son, when a hog sees me, he goes, ah, because I'm going to eat that sucker. You ever see people die and dead with low fat? They don't even look good when they're dead. You see a guy died of high fat? Got to get that bacon out of his teeth there. Hey. The chokehold. I was choking. She was choking. God wanted me on worldwide television 20 years ago. Jesse, I wanted you. Why, Lord? Why didn't you do it when I had brown hair, Jesus? Because you choke. It took you 24 and a half years to get saved. Bible said Lazarus was dead 4 days. He stinketh. I wonder how long you've been dead. Wonder how much you stink. Huh? Choking. Boy, when it comes to finance, 104. You mean to tell me if I give $50, you think God would give me 5,000? Yeah! Well, I just think that's greedy. How can it be greedy? You didn't ask for it. It was wrote before you was born. God making a plan for your future. But we can't receive it. Why? Because we choke on it all the time. I don't know what we're going to do. God said, Jesse, how long do you want to live? I said, what? He said, do you think I'll call you home when I'm ready? I said, well, that's what I heard all my life. He said, no, you determine how long you live. He said, you know, if you'd read my Bible, you'd find out that death and life's in the power of your tongue, not mine. I'm under command from you. Now, don't write me an ugly letter because I said that, because I'm going to throw it in the garbage can. You understand? It's a word of God. By the time we start forgetting about what people think Jesus said and start believing what he said. You understand what I'm saying? Well, how I'm going to pay? How I'm going to pay my church off debt free? How about cash? Cold cash. Green cash. All kinds of cash. Cash, man. Cash. Cash. Say it with me. Cash. How you going to pay for that citation 10, Brother Jesse? Cash is king. We live in an economic society, so God says. Watch this. If prosperity is of the devil, why did God give you the ability to make wealth? What was it for? To establish what? To establish covenant. God don't mind you living in a nice house, driving a nice car, wearing something nice. That's what you like. He don't mind. Now, church world don't like it. They want dang, but God out there want dang. I don't know why that preacher's driving that kind of car. Well, maybe he likes it. Well, I don't see why he's got to have such an expensive one. Well, maybe he gave enough to missionaries and sent vans and bicycles and motorcycles and cars all over the world and drove this piece of rattle trap. And God said, because he sowed seed in other countries, bless him with whatever he wants to drive. You may be criticizing somebody's harvest. Well, what about if they're greedy? Well, if they're flat greedy, God will judge them and so will the world. You ain't got to worry about that. He said, I want to see where you choke. Ladies and gentlemen, we're building a $7 million complex as I speak. I've had three bank presidents, three of them in the city of New Orleans. You understand what I'm saying? Said, Reverend Duplantis, we will give you a letter of credit. I said, I already got a letter. I got a letter to the Philippians. Now, they don't know what that is. They think that's a bank in New York. You know, they have no idea. They go, I wonder what bank that is. That Philippian bank must have a lot of cash. Met a guy the other day. He went to Dudley's Hardware, which is across the street, and I happened to be out in the front looking at the signs they had just put up, and he walked over and said, boy, I tell you, you're building some fine structure. Man, huh? Boy, who's financing this thing? I said, it's being paid for cash. He went, cash. I said, cash. He said, cash. I said, cash. He said, cash. I said, cold cash. Cold cash. Cash. That blows people away. They can't say, cash. Can you be, God pay cash? He said, did you say cash? I said, cash. Really cash? Real cash. You mean to tell me there's no mortgage on it? I said, do you see a sign out here that says financed by anybody? He said, no. And both of us said it together. Cash. Yeah. Why? Because the Lord said to do it that way. Now, if I look at it, I go, oh, Lord. Lord, you know how much money this costs? He says, yeah, costs cash. He said, have you ever paid for anything I've ever done? I said, no, sir. He said, you never will. I'll take care of my own business. All I ask you to do, just obey me. Don't choke on me no more, Jesse. So, brother, when they called the other day, that wasn't a silly out jumping out to go on 59 more countries. A lot of money. I got to believe by faith. Everything I do is by faith. I knew it was a witness of the Spirit. When God told us to go on ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, we're on 21 different secular markets right now. We're believing God to be on 200. That'll give us about 1.5 million a month. $2 million a month just for the television program. Once you get up to those 200 stations and all that kind of stuff, he's talking some cash. That ain't counting them cameras. They ain't counting that television truck. Where's that television truck? Somewhere back there. They ain't counting all that stuff. And listen, this TV crew of mine, they spend more money than you can shake a stick at. They want me to buy some more cameras. They say, we need some, you know, a lot more people coming to meetings, so we need them big lens, big cameras, so we can suck a fly off the wall. That means if you're pulling something out of your nose, we can amplify it, buddy. You understand? You know what that costs? You're talking dollars. You're talking big money. And right now they're changing all the system from analog to digital, which means, ladies, let me just give you a prophetic utterance that's coming to pass, whether you like it or not. See all them televisions you got in your house? You're going to have to throw them all away. Not now. They're going to sell you a box first. That's called the economy. They're going the way of computers, buddy. They're going to sell you a box because they're going to change the signal from analog to digital. And your television can only pick up analog. So they're going to sell you a box so you can convert it over to digital. But you know what's going to happen after that? After a while, you ain't going to better buy parts for it. You're going to have to throw it away, and then everything's going digital. Well, I don't want to do that. Then, son, you're going to look at the wall because nothing's going to come into your house. You buy a brand new computer today, and I guarantee you 18 to 24 months, you can't even buy a part for it. You got to throw the whole thing away. That keeps the economy moving. Well, how do I keep up with that? Don't choke on nothing. Begin to believe God's word. Well, I've been standing on the word, because some of you people in wheelchairs, I've been standing on the word of God or sitting on the word of God for a long time. Don't choke. When people say, well, it don't look like you're ever going to get out. Say, well, I'm not moved by what you see or what I see. I'm moved by what I believe in, and I refuse to choke. He said, by his stripes, I am, and I am. If I am, I is. I'm not denying the wheelchair. I'm not denying this. I'm denying it's right. I have a right to walk. I have a right to do anything anybody else does. Make no difference what color you are. You have a right to do anything. First thing first, you're a child of God. You live in the United States of America. And if you don't know your rights, you can live in all kinds of trouble that you don't need to be in. But you see, people choke on that. Oh, don't know what we're going to do. Turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 15. Let me show you something. Your heavenly father, your earthly father, the man called Abraham, choked up a storm. Everybody chokes at times. But what happens is God's trying to get a blessing to you. Chapter 16. Watch this. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. I'm dealing with the chokehold here. Think about it. Wonder why God hadn't blessed you the way you thought he should have. Maybe you've been choking on. Well, we're standing on the word. Where is the word in your house? Where's my Bible? Somebody go get my Bible. My God, if you don't know where your Bible is, you ain't standing on the word. Look at this. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Stop. That's a lie. God created that woman's body to produce children. So if you can't have babies, like the doctor, I don't deny what the doctor says. You may have had endometriosis. Something may have happened, scarred you, blah, blah, blah. Maybe something wrong with your husband. I don't know, whatever. But Jesus said, be fruitful. And I'm not denying what the medical doctor's saying. I'm saying what Jesus said. Whose report shall you believe? So right there, that tells you something ain't working. The Lord hath restrained. See how people blame God? Have restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that. Notice that word. If you hear the word maybe, you are walking in the flesh, buddy. God never says, thus saith the Lord, I may do something and I may not. Uh-uh. He said, it may be, Lord, I'd tell you in the flesh, that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. You know, he could have said, no, Sarah. The Lord said we're going to have children, Sarah. No, Sarah, I rebuke that out of your mouth. But he's thinking, hey, Hagar don't look too bad here. And this opportunity don't come very often. When your wife lets you have another woman. Hey. And that Sarai was the first surrogate mother. It didn't work. And it won't work today. Abraham, your faith father, goes do what Sarai says. Now watch Sarai in verse 5. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. Ain't that like a woman? Now she blaming the boy. My wrong. found me upon thee. And to thee one thing. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I will despise her eye. The Lord judge between me and thee. Now Sarah done put Abraham between a rock and a hard place. Let me tell you something. When you try to make the word of God come to pass in your life, you produce an Ishmael. Watch verse 16. And Abram was 86 years old. That means he's 86 when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Then in Genesis 17 verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old, 13 years have passed. Not one word was spoken to him by God. For 13 years, God didn't say one word to that man. Why? He was in disobedience. So God said, okay, you tried to make my word come to pass. You choking on me. Now I'm going to wait till you can't have a baby. I'm going to wait until you dead as a doornail and drugs have not yet been invented to help you. And your wife going to be 90 years old, Jack. And God says, and when Abram was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the El Shaddai. See, he knew God in the other chapter as Elohim. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Look at verse 18. You would think now, he would say, praise God, man. Look at what he says in verse 18. And Abraham said unto God. Now, he didn't change his name to Father of Many Nations. He don't want that. He says, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He's still trying to get Ishmael to fulfill the seed of God. And God said, through Sarah will the nations be blessed. And you shall have a child and shall call him Isaac, which means laughter. Why did they call him that? Can you imagine a 99-year-old woman, a 99-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman pregnant walking around on the desert? And the old man said, I did that. And then Sarah said, get out with your bad self, Abraham. Don't walk too much. This baby heavy here. Let me just get on over here. Glory to God. Some of you ladies better watch out. You heard that lady? Control yourself. What happened? He decided to trust God. Go to Romans chapter 4 real quick. Watch what happens when you take the chokehold off. Romans chapter 4. Watch this. Book of Romans. It's in the Bible. Look for it. Romans. Watch this. Romans chapter 4. What happens when you take the chokehold off? Romans 4 verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. Now this is Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. Now he wasn't believing like that when he's 86. God was kind of angry at the boy because he ain't said a word to him for 13 years. Finally he had to get to 99 where he couldn't do nothing. And God said, nah, I'm going to get this to come to pass. Now this is the Abraham with the chokehold off, who against hope, verse 18, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. He being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. What's 99? About 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written, I get excited when I read this. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us. Now hang on. But for Jesse. Put your name in there. But for, say it with me. But for, say your name. But for Jesse also. Oh, glory. To whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our, what? Offenses and was raised again for our, what? Justification. Taking the chokehold off. Now, let me ask you a question. You gave $1,000 in this offering. Could God give you $100,000 by tomorrow? Yes, some of y'all still going. And I use the money factor because that's what you cue into. You ever notice you don't share your food till you're full? You're sitting there eating dinner, bless God. Your husband reach over there, eat that shrimp. And you look at him and say, hey, fool, I was about ready to eat that. But notice, after you're full, you look at your steak or your food, you go, You want the rest of this steak? See, God's trying to get the body of Christ full. Because once he gets the body of Christ full, they'll learn to share. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You got to get full before you can share. A hungry man ain't going to give you too much. A hungry woman will. A hungry woman will feed that baby. A hungry man usually will say, well, boy, we'll make another one look just like you after a while. Men have been taught those things, but there's something about a mama, boy. There's something in a mama. Oh, Lord, don't make a mama. You try to hurt a mama's baby, she can be 90 pounds soaking wet. You can be 324. She'll climb up your chest, your hairy chest, and rip your eyes out your head. You touch that baby. Why? What is it? You ever watch the Discovery Channel? Go see them big old bears in Alaska eating that salmon. Here comes a female bear with a couple of cubs. Man, that male bear can kill that female. But, buddy, she'll look at him, tilt that head, you want some of me? Come on, boy. You touch my baby, I'll kill you in a second. And that old big old bear go, okay. My daddy was the head of the house, but my mama was the boss. He let him, mama let daddy be the head, but he ain't never made a decision. I found out men don't even own homes. You ever go eat Christmas dinner, Easter dinner, Thanksgiving dinner? Where y'all going to eat? We're going to mama's house. Or we're going to grandma's house. You notice daddy and grandpa ain't got a house. They got a garbage can. Bring that garbage can to the road, boy. Okay, mama. You notice her house, her furniture, her floors, her carpet, her bed. She controlling everything, glory to God. Weaker sex. Is that the biggest lie you ever heard in your life? Women buy 90% of all durable goods in the country of the United States. We have $11 trillion economy. Think about it. She lets you buy your shotgun. You're going to get the color call she want. Or if you want a truck, chances are she's going to pick the color of your truck. She don't want the stinking truck. Why? It's rough riding. Unless you're from Texas. See? I'm telling you, women are controlling the world. Go to a mall. You see no man leading no one. Women are leading everybody. Am I telling you the truth? Only thing a man does is open up the door for the woman as she walked through. Or supposed to anyway. I'll tell you something, when men go shopping, they choke. They go, oh, Lord, that's a lot of money. Women take the choke hold. They take the choke hold completely off when they shop. They believe it. Oh, we standing on the word. The other day I was preaching my guts out, getting people saved and healed by the power of Christ. I was working hard, hard, hard. I call out how, Kathy was supposed to be home studying. Study it. I said, you want to come to the meeting? No, I got a lot to do. I got to study. I got a meeting in a couple of 3 days. I got to study. I said, call the car. Hello, the person you're talking to has left the vehicle. I want to say, where is the vehicle at? Finally, hello, Kelly, Jesse, hey, what did you learn? Something come on me, Jesse. Something come on me. I went shopping. I said, but whose money? Your money, honey. Oh, you got to come see what I got. Now, brother, I preached my guts out soaking wet. Got home at 1:30 in the morning. I don't want to look at stuff. She gets up, she sleeps. She says, ooh, let me show you what about. Now she wants me to stay up so she can try something on. I said, I don't want to look at it. Oh, you're going to like this? I said, it doesn't fit me. I'll look at it tomorrow. Well, you know, and then she started making excuses. Well, you know how many briefcases you got? Women are bad about that. I went into your closet and saw that you had 3 pairs of shoes. That's why I've got to have 30. Because a man can change his tie and wear the same thing, and he got some. But a woman can't do that. And men, we're so stupid. We believe that. They tell us that they're dressing for us. It's a lie. It's a lie. They're dressing for other women. Men don't notice something unless it's skin tight. But women notice everything. Boy, look at that pretty dress. Yeah, it's pretty. But look at them funky shoes she wear. I wouldn't wear them funky shoes with that dress. The heels on her shoes are peeling. I throw that trash away. Man ain't looking at the heels of your shoes. The whole advertising world got women buying cream for the elbows. There ain't no man looking at your elbow. Have you ever caught a man looking at your elbow? Wow, girl, you got some pretty elbows. He ain't looking at your elbow. But you're going, I don't want my elbows to crack. I'm telling you, the bone could be hanging out the elbow. Man could care less. He ain't looking at your elbows. But you don't believe all that stuff. You know why? Because you took the chokehold off. You walk up to them cosmetic counters. They selling you that stuff for $90 for a piece this big. Well, my God, soap would do just as well. Go buy a bar of Ivory soap, Dial, something, you know. Oh, no, no, I got to have moisturizing cleanser. I got to get something to open up my pores. Open up my pores. Then you got to put something on to clean my pores. I have to exfoliate myself. Man, just wash your face with some lava. It'll take the skin off your face. You exfoliate yourself. Your face will look like a baby's behind by the time you finish. Does that shock you? It shouldn't. I'm paying for this camera. Ain't nothing wrong with that. People think, oh, good. No, it ain't. Everybody's got one. If you don't, you need a healing. Look at Kathy. Oh, what are you saying? I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you. Believe. I said, Kathy, did you believe all that? It's true. In fact, you need to be exfoliated, Jesse. I got some stuff I want you to put on. It's a mask. I ain't put no mask on. I've seen Kathy take her whole face off. Start pulling off. Look like leprosy coming off. Oh, feel my skin. Don't it feel so much better? No. No. And she noticed things that I don't never notice. I was brushing my teeth with them. She looked at me. She said, why don't you get that white piece of dead skin off your lip? Why don't you just rip it off? Because men don't pull things on their face. You're not going to catch a man with a tweezer going, that hurts. If you do catch a man, he's going, oh, oh, oh. That ain't a man, you understand? That's a woman. Whoa, man. He ain't going to do that stuff. When a man shaves his face, you don't see a man go, you ever see a woman shave her legs? Skin flying, blood blowing, boy. A man go, wow. Man, he shaved his face. Not a woman, son. They don't care. They don't care. Tough as a nail. You don't see men shaving their underarm. Uh-uh. That got to hurt. That doesn't look like that painful. In fact, if I ever went to where the men's retreat and I saw a guy going, I'm going home. I ain't staying in there, glory to God. By no means. But they tough people. Our lady that takes care of our house the other day is so funny. She look at, she from Guatemala. Where's Helly from? Guatemala? Monterrey, Mexico. She talk like that. About that, I said, how y'all do? Did you talk to Tommy? I said, we don't have a Tommy working for us, Helly. We have a Tammy. Say it. Tammy. Tommy. Tammy. Tommy. Tammy. Tammy. You got it, Helly. She walked in the house the other day. She go, oh my God, the first time I ever seen you, Miss Kathy, without makeup. I told them, but they wouldn't believe me. I told them, but they wouldn't believe me. Because she speaks what she thinks. Oh. I said, she looked like a boy, don't she? I get you out of your heart. Now, I have to put TV makeup. I hate it. If I'd be a girl, I'd be the ugliest girl you ever saw in your life. I wouldn't put makeup. I hate makeup. I hate it. When you see me do those tags on the end of my program, I got base, I got powder. Years ago, they used to put eyeliner on me and but one time, I closed my eyes, and my eyes got stuck. And I said, as we go off the air today, I'm going to be praying for you. Because I can't see you, to tell you the truth, bless God. But my eyes stuck. It was terrible. And I usually take it off real quick. But one time, I forgot it. And I was hungry. And I said, come on, guys, let's go to the restaurant. Okay. And I walked into this restaurant. I said, can you get us a table? And I said, four, five. And this man said, oh. Yes. I went. Boy, I walked. I did something stupid. I walked into the bathroom trying to take his makeup off. And this man said, what's the matter, man? I said, I'm taking my makeup off. He goes, ooh, backstroke out of here, Jack. Over here. But I've had to learn. Can they get mad at me? You know, because you got to have it on because you look like Casper the Friendly Ghost when these lights hit you and all that kind of stuff. And my head glows anyway. Hey, I found hairspray. Watch. It didn't move, did it? Boy, you ever spray it on a roach? He's dead as a doornail. I mean, you can bronze your own bugs. That's better than Terminex, man. Spray them with your wife's hairspray. You see that look on them? Some wonderful things in that cabin. I just don't know what they are. Mark 4 said, I would bless you 30, 60, and 100 fold. Now, it's been 2,000 years. When will you receive that? He said, by his stripes ye were healed. When will you receive that? Before you ever had a problem, God had an answer. He's ahead of you by thousands of years. When are we going to receive what he said? Well, Brother Jesse, I try it. Try and don't get it. You didn't try to come to this meeting. You came. I know what those people saying back there. We're trying to see you. Get your ugly self back up on that platform. Am I telling the truth? That's good. I feel like I'm in prison. Praise God. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is, you don't try to do something. You do it. What would you do if you go buy a house and they say, well, now your note's going to be $600 a month. And how y'all going to pay for this? We're going to try. Or when you say, do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? And the guy says, I'll try. You can tell that boy, go sit down, son. God said be a doer. Didn't say be a trier, did he? Be a doer. When I drive my motorcycle and ride, I don't try to drive the thing. I ride the thing. Now, I respect the thing. It doesn't have a brain. And sometimes there's a dummy sitting on the seat. It will do whatever you tell it to do. And you got to have eyes because people don't see motorcycles. So you got to see for them. You got to think, is that guy in that truck seeing me? Now, he ain't looking for a motorcycle. He's looking for a truck, a car, a van, something. So they had to pass a law to keep the lights on a motorcycle so people could at least see the lights. And a lot of the accidents went down. But before, your body's not trained or your mind's not trained to see that. Because, see, you choke on that. You think, well, where'd he come from? How'd he get there? He was right there. You never saw him, see? But once you train yourself and you change some laws and you do some things that are correct, the accident rate goes down. Now, you can still get... There's some people so afraid of a motorcycle. Hey, what, they're not a motorcycle. They're a motorcycle. No, they're not. They're not. See, that's fear. That means you're going to get killed on one. But, you know, if you drive it and do it correctly and respect it, when I got Jody her first car, she was a teenager. I said, now, Jody, this is a weapon. It's a blessing, but it can become a weapon. If you don't drive this thing right, you can hurt somebody, plus kill yourself. So drive it right. You'll always have gas in it. You'll always be able to go to the mall. But if you don't obey me about this car, you're going to push the car to the mall. You understand? And she always did that. Jody took care of her car. She paid, you know, blah, blah. I'm pretty sure she snuck around, probably did some things that I don't know about. But that's okay. The Lord forgive and I forgive her too. It's not the issue. But she respected the car. Now, she couldn't do too much without God telling me. I used to tell her, you go on a date, God's going to tell me everything you do. Well, it ain't fair, Daddy. I said, I'm just telling you. I'd be sleeping in the bed, bless God. There'd be a bunch of girls over my house. She'd be 13, 14 years old. The Lord would wake me up. They're sneaking out. Get up, Jesse. They're sneaking out. Go get in the banana trees in the backyard. Oh, okay. Sure enough, Daddy Elba. Where y'all going? Oh, oh. We're going to pray, Dad. Pray nothing, man. Come on. The Lord would protect. Jody came up to me one time with her driver's license because she had a curfew. I wanted her home at a certain time. She said, look at the back of my driver's license. It says, I can stay out later. Teenagers have the most wonderful sense. I said, I bought that driver's license. You stay out, you come in when I tell you. Tell you one thing, I don't know why I want to stay out like everybody else stay out. So one time I told her, I said, stay as long as you want. Just come in whenever you want. I said, there ain't nothing to do after 12 anyway. Kathy went, I believe you're going to let me. I said, stay as long as you want. It wasn't 2 minutes to 12, Jody came in, her and Ed. I said, I thought y'all staying out later. There ain't nothing to do. I said, I told you that. We ain't stupid. We may look stupid, but we're not stupid. You see what I'm saying? Taking the chokehold off. So I decided that I would take and believe God and take the word of God. And I close with this. Take the word of God verbatim. People say, oh, you're a fundamentalist? Well, I have fun all the time. I guess I'm a fundamentalist. Glory to God. So if he said by his stripes you were healed, then I am. That doesn't mean the devil hadn't attacked my body. You know what that little white thing Kathy tried to? She said, why don't you pull that off your lip? She thought it was just dead skin from chaplets. Well, what happened was there was something that was growing underneath my lip, I think. So she said, you might ought to go to the doctor. Now, you understand, I have never been in the hospital other than when I was born. First time ever, last time ever. It's when I was born. I haven't went back because they slapped me when I was there, and I haven't been back since. Hey, slapped the fire out of me when I came in. I said, you hang it up, Jack. You ain't making no money on me. Now, I look 55 years old, but bless God, I'm 49. I just turned 49, and my hair is so white. But if I get out these television lights, the closer I get to you, the younger I look. Let me show you. Let me just get closer to you. Get out these thinking lights. You see, I look younger when I get closer to you. But the further away, look at that woman. I tell you what, keep walking, Brother Jesse. See, closer I get to you, the younger I look. But the further away I get from you, say, boy, that's an old bird. I ain't an old bird. Richard Roberts told me the other day, he said, bless God, I thought you was older than me. I'm 50, you look 50. I said, no, I'm 49. He said, well, I look younger than you. I said, well, my hair's thicker. Word of God. Hallelujah. My hair's thick. And one thing I got hair. But I'm starting to get that Eddie Munster point, you know. You know, you get a little receding, a little Eddie Munster point. I kind of like the thing, glory to God. Gives you the center of your face. Okay, go to the left and go to the right. Let me tell you something about young people. You listen to Brother Jesse. You don't marry somebody because they're good looking. You hear me? Because one day it's going to all fall down. It's the truth. I'm telling you, one day that beautiful girl, she's going to say, bye, honey. And the bottom of her arm going to be a flopping in the breeze. It's going to happen. You think that man got a good looking set of hair? Take pictures. How many of y'all used to play with the bottom of your grandma's arm? Hold your hand up. Let me find out. Let's just really get radical. If you played with the bottom of your grandma's arm, stand up. Watch. Look. Look. You'd go, what's this, grandma? You know, at one time that was all tight. When you first married that man, he had waves. Now he's got beaches. What do you call lice? Lice on a bald-headed man's head. Homeless. Hey, homeless man. The poor lice say, we're homeless. We're homeless. What happens to a woman when she gets older? Cellulite. Bumps. Dimples. And they sweat that, man. They go, honey, you see any bumps? They always, women always petting themselves. They go, Do you see any bumps? And that husband said, oh no, honey, that's just a little hail damage. That's all that is. Just a little hail damage. Stay out of them hailstorms. You'll be all right. We get a little Bondo. We'll plaster all that up, bless God. Fix all that. But see, you didn't marry her body. You married her. She didn't marry your body. She married you. Took the chokehold off. If sex is so wonderful, how come everybody getting a divorce? Huh? That's really true. Anything that's built on the flesh will not last. It must be built on the spirit and on the heart that God has placed in an individual. Let me say this in close. Now I'm going to say something going to shock you. You don't pick your spouse. I'll tell you something else. You don't pick your parents. I'll tell you something else. You don't pick your pastor. Well, we lost a few right there, didn't we? Boy, the chokehold grabbed today. See, if you let God pick your wife or your husband, you'll be there forever. Let's just face it. And don't look at your husband or your wife. Don't look at it when I say this. If you would pick them, you'd have picked somebody better looking. Think about it. How many times have you seen a man way better looking than your husband? Yeah, well, you good looking guy. How many times that man said, look at that woman over there? Why didn't you fall in love with that woman over there? What happened? God picked your spouse. She was perfect for you, and he was perfect for you. See, you don't pick your parents. If you would have, you'd have picked some rich ones. But God picked your parents. I'll tell you something else. You don't pick your pastor. There was 3 million people in the church. 2,998,998 of those people hated the pastor. His name was Moses. Only two of them liked him. And you know what God did? He let the 2,998,998 die in the desert, but he kept Moses. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. That's a chokehold on it. How many times you got mad at your mama, but that didn't change it from being your mama? When you was a kid, you walk back in the room, tell you one thing, I'll tell her, good. And she said, what you say? I didn't say nothing. But I tell you something, when everything went wrong, mama, mama, mama. Think about that. If you let God do the choosing, he will go beyond your wildest dreams. And let me just say it for you young people, and for people that are looking for a spouse. He knows the kind of man you like. Now, don't go pray some stupid prayer, Lord, I take anything. Because you're going to get some baboon, ugly man. I won't let you know that. You better let God do the choosing. He know exactly what you like. Because when Adam woke up and saw Eve, look at this mama. He started prophesying, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Son, then when a man leave his mom and daddy and cleave his wife, well, why do you think he was excited? He didn't have a mama. He didn't have a daddy. He prophesied. And she said, what's happening, big boy? He said, girl, let me show you what belonged to me. Brought yourself here. Come on. He knew exactly what he wanted. God knew exactly. And he created a perfect woman called Eve. Actually, he didn't name her Eve. He named her Adam. Adam named her Eve. See, because the minute man named woman, that meant woman came out of man's foot. When God named woman, God took woman, woe man, man with womb, out of man's side to stand equal with him. Not behind him, with him. Shout, ladies, I just set you free. I just set you free. I had to correct a gentleman not long ago. He said, behind every great man is a great woman. He was introducing Kathy. I got up there and I said, wait a minute. Wait. I said, hang on a second. I gotta stop this. Kathy's never been behind me in my life. Kathy's been beside me. If she's behind me, ain't no telling what she'll do. I keep that woman beside me, glory to God. Taking the chokehold off. So you know what? I decided to let God do anything he wants. I want to tell you something. This morning I received an offering and God said 100-fold anointing was on it. And Kathy, we gave $1,000 last night in the offering. Personally, ourselves. We ain't asked you to do something we don't do. But this morning, I knew it. I said, Kathy, write another check for $1,000. But Jesse, you mean you got that kind of money? Well, I used to. I gave it this morning. But I promise you, I'll have $200,000 before I can blink an eye. What you going to do with it? I don't know. But I'm pretty sure Kathy will find something to do with it. I have faith in her. Glory to God. And who knows? See, I made up my mind that I'm going to quit choking. That I'm going to live the life the way the Bible says. And you know, when people say, I can't, well, I think it looks like you're doing pretty good, I'm going to say, I'm going to tell them. And I do. I say it on television. I'm doing better than that. I'm not making an excuse anymore for the blessings of God in my life. I'm going to tell people the great God Jehovah has blessed me. He's blessed me, but I have blessed him. I'm not going to make excuses for the kind of house I live in, or the kind of car I drive, or the kind of plane I fly, because the Lord gave them to me to start with. I couldn't afford any of them. God has blessed us. And next time, bless God, you get a new dress or something, don't say, well, I got it on sale. And you know, so somebody might get mad. Say, look at this dress. Isn't it beautiful? My God, God has blessed me. That's the favor of God in my life. Give him glory for it. Give him glory for it. Take the chokehold off and receive what God said you could have. Take it off. Let him give you what he wants instead of what the devil thinks you should have or what the church world thinks you could have. Start living the way your father wants you to live instead of the way his kids. And I'll say this in close, and this is a tough statement. And God began to tell me to say this. And you people watching my television, don't get mad at me because I say this, because I ain't going to answer your ugly letter. I don't mean that rudely, but that just said, I ain't got time for foolishness. The Lord said, you tell everybody from now on that I never sent you through one trial, temptation, or test. I said, you didn't? He said, I tempt no man. He said, I never sent you through that. But boy, my kids did. You think of any trial you ever been through, and I guarantee you a Christian was involved in it somewhere. Think about it right now. Some person they call a Christian had you going through hard times when they didn't have to. He said, Jesse, I'm your father. I don't need to test you to find out what you're going to do. I know exactly what you're going to do. But when I went in the ministry, I thought that was the way it's supposed to be. I went and preached for a week. They gave me $10 for 12 days to eat. $10. They say, if you go to Popeye's Chicken and get a Coke, they'll give you a free biscuit. I went preaching churches. They said, we're not going to feed you. We're fasting. I slept on army bunks in Sunday school rooms, and they wouldn't put the heat on, and it was 28 degrees inside the room. But I thought, well, it's the ministry, you know, suffer for Jesus. I didn't know any better. The Lord was telling me, if I was you, I'd get out of here and go to a hotel. But I thought, well, I'm going to suffer for Jesus. Well, Jesus said, well, I'll let you go on and suffer. I'm going to get out of here myself. And you know who was doing that to me? Not God. His children. And you know how kids can be cruel? Kids will bite each other, boy. They can be cruel to each other. He said, I never sent you through those things. I'm telling you. I had to believe God to eat. I would preach and they'd say, thank you very much. I said, how am I going to get home? I ain't got enough money for gas. Thank God I had a Japanese Cadillac called a Toyota. So you know what would happen? I start driving at home. I said, well, I'll drive as far as I can. But you see, I took the chokehold off years ago. I said, I'll not let the devil run me out of town. I had a lack of knowledge of the word, so I thought that was the way it was supposed to be. I didn't know. And I stopped at a gas station. Not to get gas. Didn't have any money to get gas. I stopped because I noticed I was at this red light. I was in this little town. And as I started to turn green, I passed the 7-Eleven. Looked like a time saver. You know those little stores like that? That they were throwing away the popcorn at the bottom of the popcorn machine, the seeds. So I stopped. I went and I said, excuse me. He said, yes, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, you going to throw that away? He said, yeah. I said, do you mind if I had that? I hadn't eaten a week. He said, you going to eat this? I said, when you ain't eating a week, you'll eat anything. He said, well, sure. I took that bag of seeds and, you know, popcorn. You know what I'm talking about? The crunchies, you know, the bottom. I just said, God, I thank you for helping me. I walked out there. This guy drove up. He's a sinner. He said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing fine." He said, "Are you going to use the pump or, you know, you tell him?" I said, "No, I'm not getting any gas." He said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to New Orleans." He said, "Well, man, that's 2 o'clock in the morning. You better get some gas. You ain't going to get no gas for another 100 miles, 150, 200 miles before you get down the road. You got a full tank?" I said, "No, sir, I got about an eighth of a tank." "Well, why don't you get some gas?" I was embarrassed. I said, "Well, I don't have any money." He said, "What do you do for a living?" I said, "I'm a preacher." "A preacher?" He said, "Well, were you preaching in this town?" I said, "Well, yes, sir." "They didn't give you nothing?" I said, "Well, no. What them blankety blank no good piece of trashy blank people?" I just looked at it. I said, "Well, maybe, you know, maybe they didn't have any." "Blankety blank. I know that stinking blanket church. My wife goes over there and gives most of my money away. Them blanket blank, they ain't give you nothing." He said, "Fill up your tank." He said, "You gonna eat that? Wait, what do you eat?" I said, "Popcorn." He said, "That ain't popcorn. That's the residue of popcorn." My tears swelled up my eyes. It touches me when I think about that. This man's a sinner. He said, "They didn't feed you neither, huh? Them blankety blank, no good trashy blanks." He cussing up a storm. I'm going, "Oh God." But it's true, Jesus. It's true. I'm not going to lie about it. It's true. See, his kids were sending me through his trials and temptations. I can prove it to you. Jesus prayed that you enter not. Jesus prayed against temptations, tests, and trials. So if they're so wonderful, why did Jesus pray against them? He said, "You hungry? You go in that store down there and get you some sandwiches and get whatever you need." He said, "They got a little microwave now, you can get something hot. I'll pay for it." I said, "No, sir, I can't do it." "Yeah, you can do that." He said, "Them blankety blank stinking people won't help you, but I'll help you." I thought for a minute it was an angel. But now I thought, that's the cussingest angel of us all my life. I didn't know. For a minute, I'll be out, I ain't gonna lie, but I thought, "My God, this is an angel. He needs a little help." Yeah, angel, God. But you see, the sinner took the chokehold off in his life and helped the minister. The body of Christ wouldn't help me. Kathy didn't know I was going through those things. I would never say nothing. How was the meeting? It was great. Where'd you sleep? In the church. She used to be satisfied, but after all, she said, "Where in the church? Did they have a door? Was there any blankets? What?" "Oh, no, don't worry about it." See, those people were putting me through those trials. But I started reading the Bible. And God said, "I'll supply all you need according to my riches." I said, "Yours?" I thought it comes from the people. He said, "I cause men to give into your bosom, but it all comes from me, because they can't give you nothing unless I put something in their hand to get." Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not eating the residue of popcorn anymore. But I could if I wanted to. I'm not sleeping on army bunks in 28 degree weather inside of a church. I got a nice hotel. God has blessed us. And you know, the devil realized, even though that the body of Christ didn't treat me right, he couldn't run me out of town. And God sent the sinner to help me. God sent the sinner to bless me, because the body of Christ wouldn't. Sinners. Isn't that amazing? And you know what? Those sinners are blessed. Prove that to me scripturally. The Ark of the Covenant was put in a Philistine's house, and God blessed him because he took care of God's covenant. How much more would he take care of you if you take the chokehold off? And there ain't nothing in the Bible you can't have. And if you hadn't got it yet, it ain't because God hadn't, and that's not good English, but it makes good sense. It isn't because God didn't want to give it to you. It's because of your inadequacy to receive. It's the chokehold. "Oh, it's so much." Yeah. And when you get to heaven, if you think it's much here, wait till you get to heaven. Some of y'all are going to get to heaven, and God's going to bring you to a mansion. He's going to say, "Here's your house. manicured lawns. Hedges, gorgeous. You're going to go, oh, no, Lord. I'm not worthy, Lord. Do you have a trailer? Nothing wrong with a trailer. But the reason why there are no trailers in heaven, you can't move. Where would you go? It's forever. You understand my point? You enjoyed it tonight? Give Jesus a hand clap. What a blessing. A chokehold. Answer some questions tonight. Why am I not getting healed? Why am I not getting blessed? You know why I pray for the sick? Because if I sow healing, I receive health. The seed reproduces after its kind. Isn't that good? Give him one more hand clap. What a blessing.